This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
KISW proudly presents the first ever Halloween Hullabaloo starring Godsmack and Hailstorm Sunday, October 13th, Showwear Center. The reason I'm telling you, four packs are on sale right now for $99. So everybody gets in for $25 a piece as you get the remaining tickets. For that show, head to KISW.com and score those now. All right, a question, legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener, so thanks for having me on.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Just to give you some context, I've been listening to you since I was 17, and I'm 34 now.
Good God. Golly. So half your life.
Yes, I've been listening to you half my life.
That's something.
And that just, I'm very gracious to hear that, but it just makes us feel old as hell.
Now my back hurts more.
So my side hustle, pretty standard. When you're in college, I sold a bunch of weed when I was in college.
About how much weed do you think you were moving a week?
Maybe like 3 ounces a week.
All right, so you're basically selling eights and quarters.
Exactly. Yeah, $20 here, $40 there. It was back during when medical marijuana was a thing.
Okay.
So I had my medical card. I would go get some pot from my mother, who was growing for us at the time. And then I'd drive back to college, and I'd sell it to all my college buddies.
All right. Did you ever sell before you got into college, or was college when it began?
Yeah, it was in college. Right after high school, when I was like 18, 19, that's when I started selling pot, just because it was so expensive to buy the stuff on your own.
I do miss the medical dispensaries. I still think you could make a pretty good profit off those places.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, granted, you have to have a card, and you have to go to the doctor, and I think my doctor's visit was $100 for the whole thing.
Yeah, you get the card, it's worth it.
But, you know, they had big jars, open them up, nugs, you could smell them, you know, and I don't know, it's kind of like going to a deli and getting a freshly made sandwich instead of one they already prepackaged.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
What did you end up doing? What do you do for a living now?
I have a job with the government that I do not want to disclose.
Okay,
that's a good call. Fair enough.
And
just
quickly, do they drug test at your government job?
No, they do not.
All right, good. Sure. Good. All right. They shouldn't, man. That's always my thought. Wait, if I'm not operating heavy machinery or all the rest, even then, like if there's drugs in my system, there's a difference between drugs in my system and me being high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you show up to work high, that's one thing. If you go, well, there's weed in your system. Like, well, no kidding. I got stoned last night.
You still got to figure out a way to test if people are high on weed at the moment.
Right?
Because at the end of the day, right, like, I've known a lot of people in government agencies and this and that growing up in D.C., and, like, they drank a ton. They would do some cocaine, but it all gets out of your system so quick, they would never get caught.
That's why Coke is your go-to if you have a drug test coming up.
Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
That's not how I thought you were going to end that.
That's not really like a PSA.
I thought you were going to be like, if you get drug tested, but hey, you got one coming up? Do a couple lines tonight.
Well, I mean, it depends. It's what, out of your system in like 3 days, something like that? So if I know I have one, say, next week, I could blow through lines tonight and be fine.
It also depends on your metabolism to some degree.
Yeah. But you should be okay, so get all coked up, everybody. Hello, Wade. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, liquor and whores there, bitches.
Hola.
Hola. So, yeah, when I was a much younger lad, a friend of mine introduced me to this girl, and she just happened to be a stripper. We dated for like about a year or whatever, and she would work the club like during the week or whatever, but on the weekends or whatnot, actually her side hustle became my side hustle. She would go do, she'd grab up one of the girls from the club, whatever, and they'd go do like bachelor parties and that kind of stuff, different events or whatever. And they would hire me to come with them and drive them and be security for them. And it was a pretty good gig, man. I mean, it came with food, booze, drugs, I mean, all that stuff.
Were you going into the parties with them, or were you just outside in case anything went down?
No. I was in the club with them, man. It's funny you ask that, because one guy, he was eyeballing me the whole time, and I was just like, wasn't really mean mugging me, but he was eyeballing me. And he comes up to me, he's like, all right, which one of these girls is your girlfriend? I'm like, no, none of them, you know, because I can't, like, ruin their tips or anything. Right. You know, you got to make them think that they can still have a chance.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And, no, but it was a good gig, man. So I'd drive them there, and I'd just kind of sit there and watch the whole show, and I got to see free boobies and everything else. And it was a solid gig. And then we would just go home, and then who knows what happened after that. Yeah.
How long did your security gig last?
Well, we dated about a year. I mean, she made more money in 4 hours than I'd make in like 2 or 3 days, you know, at the club.
Yeah, I can believe that.
She bought my first double bass drum pedal for my drum set.
Oh, that was nice of her.
I mean, anytime I've seen strippers in a house for a bachelor party, there's always security with them that's in the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially if you're going out of town. Like, I would take them up north, up to Seattle or whatever. We were based out of Tacoma here, undisclosed. Strip club, you've probably been there, but
undisclosed that you've been to many times.
Yeah, but
it's on a small woodland.
We got a picture of you up in the
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I never even used to go watch or dance or anything. I really don't like strip clubs as much because, I don't know, just too much pressure. Girls coming and licking your ears, wanting to spend money that I don't have. And I just let her go to work and make money, and then they'd pay me like a flat fee, you'd take them, and then they split some of their tips with them. And then again, like I said, I got all the free. You guys were just talking about cocaine back then. Yeah, oh yeah, that was everywhere back then. So it was a pretty good gig, man, side gig.
Okay.
I wish there was a job that I said, like, look, we're going to bring you onto the radio station. Now, we know what you asked for financially, and we can't quite cover that. But two of our sales assistants, they walk around topless, so there's free boobies, and there's always cocaine in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That was his sales pitch. Like, yeah, they give me money, drugs, and boobs.
Do you remember that little, when Geo first came out, they had a little tiny Metro that was a 2-seat convertible car, and they had it in a Smurf blue?
The one that had the weird angle in the front?
It was a strange-looking car, but it was just a little tiny-ass convertible.
All right,
so my roommate Jamie, that's the car he drove. He was a steroid guy. He was pretty buff and jacked up. But that's what he did. He did bachelorette parties and any of those type things. So he had like red bow ties with glitter on them, or, you know, sequins and different outfits that he would wear. Like, he had his standard cop / fireman /
right
kind of outfit. But man, he had some stories. He was his own bodyguard. But,
oh, yeah, for that buff.
But typically what he would do
he's performing for women, right?
Yeah, he would bring a CD. So his thing was, all I need is a CD player, and then I can start the show. So that was basically, he's his own little mobile DJ thing, puts a CD in wherever he is, they turn it on, he starts doing his stuff, gets manhandled, gets his money, and then drives back in that little ass car.
What kind of money was he making doing that?
He was making pretty good money, to be honest with you. He was not doing, it was the frequency when he was able to do it.
Sure.
Because they had a bunch of guys that would do it, so they would end up going up to Pittsburgh and to other towns in the area. And he was part of a quote-unquote local mail review. He actually danced with, what's his face?
Channing
Tatum.
Yeah.
So that was a part of that group that would go around the tri-state area.
So Ohio, Channing Tatum did that crap for real, right?
In West Virginia.
Okay, yeah.
He was kind of part of that troop. He might not have, I know he knew him. I don't know if they were like, it's like Menudo. You know,
right.
he was in the band, but I don't know if they were there at the same time.
Yeah, like the Thunder from Down Under. I don't think those are all the original members.
No way. They'd look a lot worse. Yeah.
Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Yeah, well, just out of high school, was started in college, I used to work for a parking lot company in Sacramento, and they had lots all over downtown. This is back before they, had the electronic scanner tickets and all that. It was a manual thing with like a timestamp clock, and so we had these two-part tickets, and after a while, I'd get to know the people that would park all day long, and all day parking, if you didn't have like an early bird special or anything, was about $50 a day. So I would take about 10 or 12 of those tickets, and I'd pre-stamp them right before they would come in. So they were two-part tickets, and you'd stamp the bottom when they came in and gave them the top half. And when they left, you'd stamp the leaving time on the second half and match the tickets up. And I would pre-stamp some that would only show 10 or 15 minutes worth of parking when I know they'd be there all day. So at the end of the day, they would pay me about $50, and I would pocket about 45 of that.
How long did you pull this off?
Oh, for probably about a couple years till I got a different job.
Damn.
I was surprised they never caught on. I mean, I was probably doing about $300-$400 a day.
$300 or $400 a day? Wow, man.
Oh yeah. Well, that lot would bring in like close to $3,500 or $4,000 a day just in parking.
Damn. Okay. We used to have, in Fremont, there used to be kind of by where Norm's is. The parking lot was a mailbox slot with a little slot, and you put money into it. Man, you'd see people with coat hangers.
All the time.
Digging money out. Successfully. Successfully.
Yes. I've never seen it. I've seen people try it. I've never seen them get anything out.
Because you have to kind of basically fold the bill before you put it in there.
Yeah.
So if you could just hook it, through the thing, and pull it right out.
There were some guys outside of D.C. or in D.C. area called Georgetown. And there was this one parking lot, and it had maybe 100 spots to park. But these two guys, basically, you rolled in, you paid the money, you parked your car. And when you came back, all of your stuff was there. It was fine. And, it was known that if you park in this parking lot, I think it was like $20 a car. So the deal was pretty good, especially in a place like D.C. And they're the same two guys all the time. And they were real nice, very professional. About 4 years later, I found out they got arrested because it wasn't a paid parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
These guys basically just had a sign. They stood outside. And, I saw them probably once a month when I went down there. Had absolutely no idea. And me and my girlfriend at the time were watching the news, and they bring these guys up. And I'm like, yeah, man. They made thousands of dollars doing this. But the thing was, no one was suspicious because they always kind of dressed the same. They were super professional. Park a car in A4 over there. We'll take care of it. We'll make sure nobody steals anything. And they did. And when the bars closed and you went out, they were still there. Your vehicles were safe. And they just, mountains of cash.
The Preakness horse race in Baltimore, the second leg of the Triple Crown, it's in a neighborhood. It's an old school track in an old school neighborhood. So I went. I think
old school is one way to describe it.
Yeah, I went there.
That neighborhood?
Second time.
Yes.
Yeah, second time.
Ratty, ghetto.
Well, it's just, it's kind of interesting. It's a lot like Key Arena. You can't just believe, or a climate pledge. You can't just believe it sits in the middle of
the
area.
In the middle of a neighborhood.
With no parking or anything like that. So I go to park my car, and I'm parking in front of this house. Guy goes, you can't park there. And I said, why not? He said, well, your car's probably going to get towed, or something bad's going to happen to it. And I said, where can I park? He's like, well, you're going to park in my yard. And I'm like, I'm going to park in your yard. He's like, yeah, it's going to cost you $20. He's like, if you park in front of my house, something's going to happen. Your car is going to be towed. And I said, so you want me to pull up on your lawn? He's like, yeah, why don't you pull right behind this car over here? And it's going to be $20. I said, why would I do that? He says, to protect your car.
If something bad is going to happen to
your car.
I don't know how to explain this to you.
When I was a kid, when you went to a Commanders game back in the day, right? They played at RFK Stadium.
Yeah.
Which, again, is in Southwest. They've done a lot of stuff to that neighborhood.
It's still not a good metro stop.
Right, but that was a terrible neighborhood. The same thing. My dad, if he drove down, we'd park at somebody's lawn and be like, is it okay? And he's like, that's why we're paying him.
Because
there was lots that were probably closer that you could pay
it
for.
It cost
him,
a lot
he'd
more.
Be like, trust me, like, as long as we're paying him, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, that makes all the difference in the world. Hell, we went to that with the Foo Fighters last week, whenever it was, and my wife's like, where should we park? I was like, in the bottom of our building.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, and sort of, as we walked down toward the game or the stadium, every parking lot was like $5 more, just the closer you get. Right, so about four blocks away is like $25. We walk one block. Now it's 35. This one's 40. Once you're up to the state, it's $60.
I'll tell you something.
I'm like,
I'm shocked it's only 60. That what they charge for like Seahawks games and
what
stuff.
What are they charging for like a? I thought 60 was outrageous, and I just saw that one at the Foo Fighter. I can't.
I could be wrong, but I
charge
feel like
more than $60.
I feel like a Seahawks game, you're getting closer to like 80 or 100.
Now really? here's the other.
If you're close to the stadium, I mean it's ridiculous.
So the other side hustle was this. All the kids in the neighborhood, they would go to the local Giant, the equivalent of a QFC, and they would take the shopping carts, and they would return them.
Oh, yeah.
They would return. So this was the understanding. Basically, no one was going to the grocery store at that point in time because everything was so packed and stuff as far as the neighborhood. People would drop in and pick up a 12-pack or a case of beer to go into Preakness, but it was kind of an understood thing. So when you were getting your stuff out of your car, because believe it or not, you could take chairs, coolers, everything else.
It was like going to the beach.
Whatever. You had all your food that you could eat
infield.
All day.
Infield. Correct. In the infield, yeah.
And when you went up there with your, and so the kids would come up to you as you're unpacking your car and say, "Hey, mister, I will take all your stuff in and I will push it in the cart and take it in for you so you can just walk in." When you got to the ticket gate, okay, there's a tunnel that goes underneath to get to the infield.
Yeah.
Because it goes underneath the ground so it doesn't interfere with the track, so you're not crossing the track. There's a tunnel. But you put your ticket, you get your ticket stamped there. Now, if you were just regular Joe Schmo, you needed a ticket to get in. The kids who were doing the pushing and stuff, they got in carte blanche knowing that they're going to take your stuff in, and they're going to turn right back around. They're going to go find someone.
They got
else.
More customers,
so they never they just walked in. They were never questioned. Like, oh, he's with you. Okay, go ahead. Then they come back out, find somebody else, do the same exact thing. Just go in and out all day.
What
I
liked was at the end of Preakness, particularly in the infield, because everyone has been drinking, and people get sloppy drunk. So now all those same kids that brought all of your crap in there, they're now lined up with their shopping carts at the end of that tunnel, kind of like taxis at an airport, because mostly women that I saw.
I was about to say,
basically, their boyfriend picked up their very, very, very drunk, half-passed-out girlfriend or wife, placed them in the shopping cart, and those kids would push them right back to
the
car.
They were waiting for you in the end.
That's what I mean. Like,
they were waiting when you...
It was a taxi. Basically, you walked out there, they roll right over to you. You drop your poor drunk friend into this thing, and they rolled them right back to the car.
They sound the alarm for the horses to go, and you look over, man, and there'd be 20 kids.
They're all lined up.
They're all ready to go. You know, first come, first serve. Just start packing it up.
And they made great money, man.
It's only
going to
take a couple minutes, and you all want to get out of here.
Because they didn't overcharge. Like $5 to push it, but they get 50 customers a day, man. Those kids are rolling and dough. Like you said, the thing I loved most was at the end of Preakness, they all took their shopping carts.
They did.
Back to the grocery store.
Because they could do it again next year if they did.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803.
Dude, if you ever go to a game at the University of Michigan, like I always talk about, like across from the stadium, you could tailgate on the golf course, right? So, like, we're good people. You know, we try to clean up your mess, right?
Sure.
Go to festivals, pack it in, pack it out. Well, in Michigan, I think it's 10 cents a can.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, recycling is the highest in the country, right?
Right. So, like, after, like, being there for an hour, my buddy Bernie, he just chugs a beer. We're sitting in camping chairs, and he just throws it over his shoulder. What the F are you doing, man? He's like, hang on. Some kid will come by. And they did. And
they just scoop it up to...
Yeah. The only thing you got to be careful of is when it's crowded and gets close to game time, if you're not watching your beer, they'll just dump it out and take it.
Oh, yeah.
But it is funny, like...
I would recommend you
could just sit there and toss cans out in the middle of this fairway, and some kid will come by within like a minute and grab it.
That's kind of cool. Hey, we were just talking about parking because I was saying, hey, we parked here. I don't want to spend too much for Foo Fighters. Couple texts says, I was just at the preseason game this last week in Lumen Field. The north lot of Lumen Field for parking was $80. And they point out, that's preseason. We continue. Metallica concert parking cost me, any guesses?
No.
$85. Someone else, we paid $80 across from the stadium at the garage for Foo Fighters. Such a joke, but we did watch the buses and cars and semis for the crew. We always park at the top of the garage for the view.
Okay.
God damn, $80, man.
Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Christopher. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
So once upon a time in a land far away, I was in the army. Stationed in Germany, and I was a brand new smoker, and I was not hip to the action, but I was quickly educated by my peers who are also smokers. We would take our ration cards, which were issued by the United States Army, and go to the PX and load up on our full ration of cigarettes and sell them to the local Germans.
Is that because the cigarettes were just better tasting? So to speak.
We had requests for American Marlboro Reds and Pall Mall.
Okay.
How about like Jack Daniels or anything like that? Did they ever want, you know?
Nah, they had their fill of all kind of liquor over there. There, you couldn't sell Germans liquor. They drank their own stuff.
Right.
But there was such a demand for American tobacco, and they were paying through the nose for crap German tobacco or whatever they bought local. They didn't want it. They were willing to pay a premium for American cigarettes. So here was the action. I was taught by my sergeant to take the ration card before you first use it and put a layer of Elmer's glue on top with a Q-tip, just as fine as you could. Because you went to the PX, they would check off on your paper ration card that you got your ration. Well, you would walk out of the PX with 8 cartons of smokes, take a wet Q-tip with saliva, and just rub the ink that they just put on there right off. Go to the PX in the next town over and do the same thing. We would roll into German hotels with like 40 and 50 cartons of smokes. We made more money selling American cigarettes through that racket than we did as enlisted service members through our regular paycheck.
What was it? What was the regular cost of a pack of cigarettes then?
For Americans, it was like $1 or $1.25.
All right. Yeah, I just paid $15 yesterday. I was like, oh my God,
Germany,
it's $15.
I think at the time we're paying like $3.50 or $4 for their inferior tobacco. So we were loading up.
Well, there's really
no accounting for how much money we made.
It's just not warm enough in any area of Germany to grow good tobacco. I mean, that's basically why tobacco is grown in hotter environments.
I don't know if they do it anywhere in Europe, man. When I was on that cruise,
who else really does tobacco besides the state?
Turkish.
Yeah,
that's true.
But when I was on that cruise, man, and you get to know the smokers because you have a designated area, but probably 4 different groups of people from different countries, they saw I had Marlboro Reds. They're like, oh, man, please. And they had their own cigarettes. They just wanted to try one because apparently Marlboro, that's, like you said, it's the Jack Daniels.
Did it knock them on their ass?
Most people, so the one couple, it knocked them on their ass. Most people, they would take a drag, and it's like someone having good whiskey. Like, they just held it in their lungs, and they're like, oh, yeah. But there was this one couple, and I handed it to the dude. He takes his first puff, and just, so he traded me one of his cigarettes, which would be the equivalent of like a Capri.
Ultralight. Well, Capri's got a pretty good kick to it.
Okay, then not like a Capri, right, man.
Probably like an ultralight or something.
And I'm like, why do you even smoke, man? I mean, I couldn't even taste this thing.
Well, I just asked a question about the liquor, but looking back on it, we were in Germany. There's not really a liquor culture there. We are probably the only people in that restaurant bar who were getting, you know, a shot of Jaeger or whatever, schnapps or whatever the hell they had. It just didn't seem like that was, it's beer.
It's Jaeger. Everywhere we went that was German was Jaeger and schnapps.
Yeah. That was basically it.
Yeah.
Like, if you asked for anything else, it kind of looked at you funny. But
well, that restaurant was very fancy, and you looked at that guy as I was sitting across from you, and you're like, got to get a shot of whiskey. And he was very proud, and he was like, yes. We got the good stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it was just Jim Beam.
Yeah,
right.
But that was
more than the other places had.
That's what I'm saying.
We went to that sports bar, and I looked at the back of the counter, and I was like, whoa, there's just nothing in here. Our question, legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up for a turn off Who Sucks Last, right after emails on our question, legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
A couple of texts there says, I was a teacher during the week, bikini barista on the weekends. You ever bump into any of the parents of the students who you were teaching? Just curious. Yeah, there's a couple teachers in my kid's school. If I find out they're bikini baristas, sure, I drink more coffee.
I think that'd be think that'd be weirder for the customer than it is for her.
You think?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't find it weird. I'd be like, I'm glad you do this, you know, personally.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but a couple of teachers.
Right, I know. But there's a lot of people also who love that stuff, but are just, you know, can't ever talk about it. Or,
oh, of course.
Or they'll go online or in person and tell you how bad bikini baristas are. So I think when those kind of people get caught there by the teacher, that's why it's worse for them.
You know why they got caught there? Because they went there.
Yeah.
Someone else says, I ran away at the age of 14, met a Filipino family in Sacramento, and sold meth for a year and a half. Sold an ounce a week, then I was done. When we got shot at, trying to collect money for a fronted eight ball. Good times.
Jesus. Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, other than floppy disks and cigarettes, I mod consoles.
All right. Gaming systems?
Yeah, so like when the original Xbox came out, there was a hack. You pop a mod chip in, then you go down. Well, you pop in a bigger hard drive than what it had originally. You go down to Blockbuster, rent the game, pop it in. It burns the game to the hard drive. You return the game back to get back to Blockbuster. Get another one. Keep doing it. You have the entire catalog for free.
I'll be damned.
I had one. It was awesome.
What, like the chip thing? Yeah.
Well, one of the modified Xboxes.
Ah, okay.
But it was great because it had everything you could imagine.
Was it already loaded, or were you borrowing games?
It was already loaded. You guys used it. We had it at the place right there.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Justin, all right, so you did the cigarette things in high school, the floppy disk porn in middle school, then the game. Have you done
anything? We call them floppy Johnsons, but yes.
Have you done anything legal in your life?
Anything legal?
Yeah.
For
money.
Well, modding consoles is technically legal. There's nothing piracy about modding a console. It's the content along with it. So, like, I also do emulation devices, which is basically a small single-board computer that's emulating, say, a Master System, a N64, and you could just plug in, like, an Xbox controller and start playing Mario.
Okay. All right.
But I don't sell the ROMs, which are the illegal portion of that side of business.
So basically you're making a bomb. Before weed was legalized.
Right. A tech person, a modded console, or an emulation device is a water pipe.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I got you. Yeah. I got you.
It's just a thing.
What you do with it? Hey, look, your car could probably go 125 miles an hour, but if you do that,
that's on you. Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, I've been in the shooting range. Told somebody I like their rifle, and he's like, "It is not a rifle, but it's like a 9mm. But you add everything to it, it looks like a rifle. I mean, I'm sure it's not fully automatic. But he's just like, it's not a rifle. I'm like, am I missing something? He's like, it's a 9mm. I was like, oh, okay.
That looks like a rifle.
Right? Because by the time you add stuff on the back or the front or whatever.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but yes, that probably would have been my comment, too.
But it's the same thing as that. It's just like those little kind of, I don't know if they're loopholes or whatever. So he's like, look, I'm modding them. I'm not adding in the games or whatever.
Right.
But I did nothing illegal.
So allowing you the opportunity to put in the games.
Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
That's what I always wonder about illegal drugs. You're out somewhere in public. You're not driving. You're not operating any kind of vehicle.
All right.
The cop's like, are you on drugs? And you go, yeah. Right? Like, say, I'm on acid. He search you. There's nothing else on you. Like, is it illegal to be on it?
I don't think so.
My understanding is
because, I mean, I guess you kind of possess it.
My understanding, I don't know if this is right, because just like any of my friends, when I quote anything legal, this is based on nothing other than what I've been told. But what I had heard was, it's not illegal to be high if you're not operating vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. It's just illegal to get high. So basically, if you're not carrying the drugs or they don't bust you in the act, then it's legal or...
Is that like a Rod Strickland rule?
I mean, cause that's right. Like, if you're tripping on acid, but you have no acid on you, and you're sitting in a park watching the sunset, like, you had to do something illegal to arrive where you're at, but...
Right. I don't know if it was you that told me that, but I feel like I've heard the exact same thing.
It could have been me. That's what I've heard. But again, do not trust my advice when it comes to legal stuff. Just don't. I don't know if that's true.
No, man, you can't arrest me because I'm high.
Thrill said, okay. Well,
I know the law. I know me.
Wow. Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, so I grew up in Michigan, and like you guys were talking about, we got 10 cents for every bottle and can to send back for deposit. And I remember one time my aunt was babysitting us, and I think we were 12, 13, something like that. And we asked her if we could go up to the store and get some, like, you know, soda and candy and all that. And she said, no. So we decided, well, what if we take your cans and bottles back and we'll just get a dollar out of it and you can have the rest. We'll be doing the work for you. And she still said no. And so we decided we were going to get on Cub Scout uniform. And we went up and down the road, knocking on the doors, asking for donations for the Cub Scouts until we got about $20 in change. And then we went and got our sodas and candy anyway.
You put on your Cub Scout uniform, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we were asking for donation for Cub Scouts. So, I mean, technically, is it a lie?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You were a Cub Scout. Yeah. So.
I would have given you your wolf badge immediately. Here you go, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that I've ever tailgated a Seahawks game where I haven't bought candy from some kids that are fundraising.
Oh, do they go out to the tailgates?
I feel like over the years, it's been a lot of the same kids at every tailgate. I'm like, what sport are you guys going to play?
Right. You raise money for what team, though?
Yeah, right.
Does it seem like a legit operation, or are they just kind of... Like, what is the candy they're selling? Because when we sold candy in school, I think you sold the exact same chocolate bars we got, right?
World's Finest.
Exactly, right? So if I see World's Finest, I say, okay, they're probably on the level, only because I don't know where else you get World's Finest chocolate.
Oh, no, this is just like...
M&M's?
Yeah, and like, I don't know, you go to the store and buy a Halloween pack of candy.
And that's what they're selling.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, it's a tailgate. You're boozing. It's candy.
Sure.
So, like, people are going to buy it. Everybody's, you know, tailgate's another spot where you kind of.
A little loose?
Yeah, you eat stuff. Maybe you generally don't. Everybody's like, all right. But I mean, when we used to tailgate down by the Hawk's Nest, I swear to God, it was the same kid, same mom all the time. Finally, we were like, what? Do we ever ask them what sport? Yeah. And why do they never play it? They're here, like, Thursday night games. They're there.
Right?
So it's like, what? I'm not sure.
Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
If not, though, good on them.
Yeah.
We bought candy every time.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Looking forward to that 3-day weekend with the weather we're going to have.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man. Weather makes a difference.
For sure. So this is back when I'm in my 26 or 27. I'm collecting unemployment. I'm selling pounds. I'm making money off that. That's not why I'm calling. I'm making like $2,000 a week, so I don't really need the money. But my roommate, he is an Alaskan crabber. If you grew up in Ballard, you know a fisherman, because that's everybody was a fisherman back in the day. So he'd be gone half the year fishing, and I would be, you know, at home with collecting his money, so it was great. But when he'd be home in the summer, he had a little fishing boat, and it's like a 25-foot little boat. It had a live tank in it, a hydraulic pot puller, and we would go, the season is from June through September, out in Lake Washington, we would go fishing for crayfish, and we would catch crayfish and sell them to Ujamaya and Pike Place and other places.
Oh, awesome. Nice. I heard that, you know, that one of the biggest suppliers of crayfish on the West Coast, if not maybe in the United States, is Lake Washington. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know. I mean, I did not know we were...
Is there a difference between cray and crawfish?
No, sorry. No. They farm...
Mud bugs.
It's just the same thing. It's just what way you...
But,
they
have, but you can't... But the ones from Louisiana, you can't have in Washington State. It's an illegal species.
Oh, because they're being... So there's some difference, I guess.
There's got to be some difference, right? Because my buddy...
Well, they're...
He was a cook and a chef, and he had them shipped to Oregon and then had to have somebody drive them up here.
Mm-hmm.
It was mud bugs and cold stuff.
I think they farm them too. Speaking of the
okay, so you can't put them in the water, but you can ship them up here.
No. He had to ship them to Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And then somebody drove them up here.
Damn.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like crayfish, crawfish. It's got to be like a prawn into a shrimp. It's got to be something.
I have seen those guys used to drink at the Alaskan fishermen used to drink at the Buckaroo Tavern.
Yep.
Now, the Buckaroo Tavern was, it's on Fremont Avenue, and it's only, it was only beer and wine. Mm. So they didn't have a liquor license, which was probably a very good thing. But when those fishermen came in, it was like watching a mob movie or a casino or, you have never seen people who have so much cash on hand.
Oh, right, yeah.
Big rolls. I mean, huge. Just, I have never seen that much cash being carried on a person before. And it's 20 people.
Right, all of them.
When they got back, man, it was just, they were all very, very energized.
Yes.
But man, oh, man. Golly. I mean, I saw this one guy pay a bill, and I looked over, and I was like, that is the biggest wad of money I've ever seen in my life. I'm serious. I don't think I'd ever seen more money at one time.
Probably every guy there was like, how about this one?
Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, 1980, I was 15 years old, and I got a job at a liquor store. California, you could be a stock boy. I worked it until I was about 17, and I could load up duffel bags, or basically the gym bags, full of alcohol, take to high school, and sell them.
Oh, yeah.
Sell whatever I got. JD was the big thing. Half pints. I do that probably twice a week.
And about how much money were you pulling in?
I remember coming home pretty much every day with about $100, on those 2 days. So $200 a week, easy. And that doesn't count tapping the till when I was at the store alone, because I had the store alone for about an hour and a half a day from 2:30 to 5.
So you did pretty good with that. You did pretty good with that gig.
I did real good with that gig. I think I had more money when I was in high school than I've ever had.
Well, what's $100 from the '80s compared to now? You know, that's the thing you need to think about. Is it the equivalent of $300 from $200?
I mean, I would guess probably around $300.
I mean, there's only a few things that have consistently been about the same price,
but, and it's illegal narcotics.
Everything else has gone up. Legal or not, what was your side hustle to make some extra cash? 206-803-ROCK.
It's different now because of cameras and everything, but like when I worked at a liquor store, I just assume if somebody's not 21, they're working in your liquor store, like, they're taking some stuff.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Right. It's easy access, right? Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Hey.
Hola. Try it again, man. Your phone's breaking up.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout-out to my gramps and then tell you guys that my side hustle I've been doing for 7 years is breeding and selling reptiles.
So breeding, is this basically all kinds of reptiles?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of them, but right now I have about 6 or 7 different species that I breed, and then after I breed them, I sell them at shows across Washington and Oregon.
All right, so what is the most popular reptile that you are selling right now, and what is the most difficult to breed?
So the easiest one and the most popular that I have is leopard geckos. I got a bunch of different morphs of them, which is like the colors of them. And then the most difficult one that I have right now is probably like boas, Colombian rainbow boas, a really pretty boa with iridescence to it. So those ones are pretty hard to breed as well.
Okay. How do you know when they're pregnant? How do you know when the process has begun? Do you have any idea, or are you just like surprised one day?
They got breeding season, so like some of them you can make naturally happen. Like for some snakes, you put them in a brumation, which is kind of like a hibernation, and you do that during the winter, so you don't have to feed them at all. And then you just wake them up during the spring, and then most of them you just like lower the temperatures. And then you just put them together when you bring the temperatures back up.
Have you ever thought of like playing Barry White or Marvin Gaye in the background, really set the mood?
How many boas? I mean, is it one snake per snake? I mean, is it a litter? What the hell is it?
Boas actually give live birth, so you can get anywhere from like 10 to 15 babies out of a boa, maybe even more, and then pythons and most lizard species have eggs, and you have to incubate them.
Okay, so how much can you get per boa or python, would you say, on average?
It just depends on the color and morph. So, like, if I have the Colombian rainbow boas, I can get anywhere from $2,000 to $1,000. I did a show recently, and I made about $3,500 in 2 days.
Do you ever run into, this is strange, but have you ever run into any Amish people? I know they're really not prevalent in the area, but do they ever show up?
No, I've never seen them. Mostly goth people show up, and then there's some normal people like us.
All right, normal people.
That's about it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the East Coast, Ohio, Pennsylvania, there's a lot of Amish, and they are definitely into that hustle.
But they move them, he does.
Yeah.
So even if there was Amish out here, they wouldn't show up at his house to buy them, because...
No, I just said, if you go to one of those reptile shows or whatever, where you're selling them, I just don't know if, any of the other vendors, because...
I don't think I want to know. My neighbor is illegally breeding snakes.
He said you don't want to know that?
No.
Okay,
I have to move out. Him.
Even if none of them had escaped.
I think he's doing it illegally.
You just heard... No, I know he's doing it illegally, but if you just heard that that's what he does, you'd have to move out.
I mean, I barely trust the toilet now. I would never trust.
Who Sucks Last coming up? And we've got your emails on the way from the men's room at KISW.com next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.